I'm David Delegator. When it comes to your taste buds, the Bluegrass State is a bourbon lover's paradise. From mint juleps at the Kentucky Derby to the classic old-fashioned at Louisville's Pendennis Club, no spirit is more associated with a state than bourbon is with the Commonwealth of Kentucky. Since the founding of the Bourbon Trail in 1999, bourbon's become more than just a production industry. It's become a tourism industry for Kentucky, bringing over 500,000 visitors last year alone. In Kentucky Bourbon Country, the essential travel guide put out by the University of Kentucky Press, veteran travel writer and bourbon author Susan Rieglers compiled the most comprehensive and up-to-date guide to the tours, distilleries, restaurants, bars, and attractions of the Bluegrass State. And she's with us this evening to discuss her new work. Susan Rieglers, welcome to Around Cincinnati. It's great having you on.
Oh, thanks very much for having me, David.
Let's begin by talking about some of the bourbon basics. So what is bourbon exactly?
Well, bourbon is a whiskey, and it is a whiskey that is based upon distilling primarily corn. That's the major grain in bourbon, and it uses some smaller grains, what are called the smalls in the mash bill or the recipe, almost always rye, but occasionally wheat, and then a little bit of malted barley because the malted barley releases the enzymes that help break down the starches in the other grains, and that lets the yeast work on the sugars and turn it to alcohol. So bourbon is essentially a corn-based whiskey. And also, as of 1964, it is an exclusively American product. You can't make a corn-based whiskey anywhere else in the world and call it bourbon. It has to be made in America. There was an act of Congress in 1964 that codified bourbon and what it was and what it was not. But it has to be at least 51% corn, but it's usually much higher than that, actually, usually in the 70s for the recipe.
Kentucky's really the epicenter of the bourbon world. In 1999, the Bourbon Trail was established. What exactly is that?
That is a series of distilleries, and not all Kentucky's distilleries are a part of the Bourbon Trail, which is a copyrighted term by the Kentucky Distillers Association, but several of the distilleries are part of this trail, and it's just simply a way of helping people organize their visit to Kentucky and kind of fun that you take a little passport and you get a stamp, and at the end you get a T-shirt. It's amazing how adults will go right for this. How many T-shirts do you need? But it's fun. You know, it gives you a goal, so that's what it is. It's kind of a collection, and that's good. But several of the distilleries belong to that, and a few of them do not, and it's just a matter of choice. But again, it is a good way of advertising the distilleries and getting people to come to the state. And I hope once they come to Kentucky, they find there's much, much more to the bourbon country than just the distilleries.
Once you go to a distillery and go on a tour, what can you expect to have happen?
It's very interesting because the distilleries themselves are similar but different. They have different histories. Most are located in some of the most scenic parts of Kentucky, the Bluegrass region. And some of them are on the National Register of Historic Places, so they've been around for a long time and have some beautiful and significant architecture. And others are much newer, a little more industrial, and that gives them a different feel. But for all of them, you can expect a tour where they explain how bourbon is made, you know, what it is and how it is made. And going through the actual distillery, a lot of them you're walking up and down stairs and going along some catwalks, and there are a variety of tours if you want to get very much into the technology of it. A lot of the distilleries have pretty in-depth technical tours for how bourbon is made. I know you can do that at Buffalo Trace. At Woodford Reserve, you can take a special tour. I think it's only one or two days a week where you actually go into the lab where they're doing a little quality control, and that's really very interesting. Or you can have more of the history-based tours and a little something for everybody. And of course, the best thing is that every tour, there's a tasting at the end. So that's always what the enthusiasts are going for, too.
Well, I know, just getting back to what bourbon is, I mean, there are a number of factors. It's not just the mix of the grains that determines the taste, the way the bourbon will lay on your palate and go down, right?
Oh, exactly. There are several factors. And, of course, the first one, if you're talking about, of course, the grain and the mash bill. But then the second factor is the strain of yeast that's being used by the particular distiller. And while it's all the same species of yeast, there are different strains, different varieties, and several of the byproducts of the fermentation process, besides alcohol and carbon dioxide, are very aromatic chemicals called esters. And these esters give a lot of the very distinctive flavors profiles to different bourbons, whether they're fruity or a little nutty, just all kinds of aromatics. Sometimes that's where the chocolatey aromatics will come from. And so whether you have a bourbon that has fruit notes of apple, pear, or fruit notes of things like sweet cherries or raisins. So the yeast strain is very important. So that's one factor. Another factor is going to be how long the bourbon is aged. In fact, when it's in the barrel, how deep the char is on the inside of the barrel, so that as the whiskey moves in and out of the wood over the course of many, many Kentucky summers and winters, that's where it picks up the vanilla and caramel notes. That's what comes from the wood. And I think if you ask any master distiller about the flavors of bourbon, he'll tell you that it's a good 70% of the flavor of bourbon comes from the aging in the oak. So we have our Kentucky hot, hot summers and cold winters, and that just pushes that whiskey in and out of the wood. And, of course, what proof it's put in the barrel and what proof at which it is bottled. And, of course, you adjust proof by adding water. And, of course, by law, you can't add anything at all to bourbon except water to adjust the proof. And it's Kentucky's good limestone water also helps give that nice clean flavor to bourbon, because Kentucky limestone water is iron-free, and you don't want any iron in your whiskey because that would turn it black, which would not be very appealing color for whiskey.
Kentucky bourbon country is just a hop, skip, and a jump from Cincinnati. And I wanted to mention the book is not just about bourbon at all, but you highlight local restaurants and places to stay and other attractions, bed and breakfasts, historic inns, and sites around Kentucky.
Oh, absolutely. And all sorts of ways of enjoying bourbon, from foodstuffs you can buy that are made with bourbon or have a bourbon influence in them, to historic sites that you may not realize have a connection with bourbon. In fact, in doing the book, I really had a fine time connecting all the dots as a native Kentuckian and native Louisvillian to lots of events I knew about and not realizing people associated with bourbon had something to do with them, such as the famous Battle of Perryville, our big Civil War site in central Kentucky. One of the members of the family that founded Four Roses was a participant in that battle and probably marched past the site where the current distillery is on his way to the battlefield. Just interesting side trips like that for people who want even a little more information and experience about Kentucky and bourbon when they're here.
Susan Regler, thanks for being with us today on Around Cincinnati.
Oh, my pleasure. Thanks so much for having me.
Kentucky Bourbon Country, the Essential Travel Guide by Susan Regler, our guest this evening. For Around Cincinnati, I'm David Delegater.